Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Disc 2.
November. Monday. It's been over a week since Roderick's party, and I stopped worrying that Mom and Dad were going to bust us for it. But remember that bathroom door we switched out? Well, I forgot all about it until tonight. Roderick was upstairs in my room bugging me, and Dad went into the bathroom. A couple seconds later, he said something that made Roderick stop cold.
Hey, didn't this door used to lock?
I thought it was over. If Dad knew about the door, it was just a matter of time before he found out about the party. But Dad didn't put two and two together. He just said, I must be losing my marbles. That lucky Roderick. You know, maybe it wouldn't be so bad if Mom and Dad found out about the party. Roderick would get grounded, which would be awesome. So, if I can figure out a way to spill the beans without Roderick finding out, I'm gonna go for it. Tuesday. I got my first letter from my French pen pal, Mamadou, today. I decided to adjust my attitude and give this whole pen pal thing my best effort. So when I wrote back to Mamadou today, I tried to be as helpful as possible. He had written,
Dear Gregory, I am very privileged to make your acquaintance. Mamadou.
So I wrote back, Dear Mamadou, I'm pretty sure acquaintance doesn't have a C in it. I really think you need to work on your English. Sincerely, Greg. I think it's dumb that Madame Lefrere won't let us use email with our pen pals. Albert Murphy has already written back and forth with his pen pal a bunch of times, and it's costing them a lot of money in stamps. Letter 1. Dear Jacques, how old are you? Letter 2. Dear Albert, 12. Letter 3. Dear Jacques, oh. Cost, $14. Friday. Tonight, Rowley's parents went out to dinner, so they got him a babysitter. I don't know why Rowley can't just watch himself for a few hours, but believe me, I'm not complaining. Rowley's babysitter is Heather Hills, and she's the prettiest girl at Crossland High School. So whenever the Jeffersons go out, I always make sure to be up at Rowley's for story time. I went up to Rowley's at about 8 o'clock tonight. I even splashed on some of Roderick's cologne to make sure I made a good impression on Heather. I knocked on the door and waited for Heather to answer, but I was caught a little off guard when Rowley's next-door neighbor Leland answered instead. I can't believe Rowley's parents switched babysitters from Heather to Leland. They should have at least checked with me before doing something stupid like that. Once I realized Heather wasn't there, I turned around to go back home. But Rowley asked me if I wanted to hang out and play Magic and Monsters with him and Leland. The only reason I said yes was because I thought it was some kind of video game. But then I found out that you play it with pencils and paper and these special dice, and that you're supposed to use your imagination or whatever. It actually turned out to be pretty fun. Mostly because in Magic and Monsters, you can do all sorts of stuff you could never do in real life. Like, light Rowley's eyebrows with a torch. When I got home, I told Mom all about Magic and Monsters and how Leland was a really awesome dungeon keeper. Roderick overheard me talking about Leland, and he said that Leland is the biggest nerd at his high school. But this is coming from a guy who spends his Saturday nights putting fake throw-up on people's cars in the Home Depot parking lot. So I think I'll just take Roderick's opinion with a grain of salt. Wednesday. I've been going up to Leland's house every day after school to play Magic and Monsters. I was headed up there again today when Mom stopped me at the door. Mom has been acting real suspicious of this whole Magic and Monsters thing. And from the questions she's been asking me, I guess she must think Leland is teaching me and Rowley witchcraft or something. So today, Mom said she wanted to go with me to Leland's to watch us play. I begged Mom not to come, because first of all, I knew she would never approve of all the violence in the game. And second of all, I knew that having her in the room would totally ruin the whole experience for everyone. When I begged Mom not to join us, it made her even more suspicious. So now there was no changing her mind. Rowley and Leland couldn't have cared less that Mom came with me. But I couldn't enjoy myself, because I felt like a total dork playing in front of her, saying things like, "My wizard Talrock utters the spell of Tallrune." I figured Mom would eventually get bored and just go home, but she stuck around. And right when I thought she was finally going to leave, Mom said that she wanted to join in the game. So Leland started setting up a character for Mom, even though I was trying to signal to him that it was a big mistake. When Leland created a character for Mom, Mom told Leland she wanted her character to be my character's mother in the game. I did some quick thinking and told Mom that all the characters in Magic and Monsters are orphans, so she couldn't be my mother. And Mom believed me. But then she asked Leland if she could name her character Mom. And he said yes. I have to give Mom credit for figuring out that loophole, but it totally ruined the rest of the game for me. Even though Mom wasn't technically my mother in the game, she sure acted like she was. At this one point, our characters were hanging out in a tavern waiting for a spy to arrive, and my dwarf, Grimlon, ordered a pint of mead. Mead is sort of like beer in Magic and Monsters, and I guess Mom didn't approve of that. She found a way to accidentally bump Grimlon's arm and spill his drink. The worst part of the game was when we got into a battle situation. See, the whole point of Magic and Monsters is that you're supposed to kill as many monsters as possible so you can get points and move up in levels. But I don't really think Mom got that concept. When Leland announced that Mom had run into a pack of orcs and they looked hungry, she said, "We give them all of our food." After about an hour of things going like this, I decided to quit. So I gathered up my stuff, and me and Mom headed home. On the way back, Mom was really talking up Magic and Monsters, saying how it could help me with my math skills and stuff like that. All I can say is, I hope she isn't planning on becoming a regular at these games, because the first chance I get, Mom is getting handed over to a pack of orcs. Thursday. After school today, Mom took me to the bookstore and bought just about every Magic and Monsters book on the shelf. She must have dropped about $200, and she didn't even make me cash in a single Mom buck. I realized maybe I judged Mom a little too quick, and maybe it wasn't such a bad thing having her in our group after all. I was all set to take my new books up to Leland's, but that's when I found out there was a catch. Mom actually bought all these books so me and Roderick could play Magic and Monsters together. She said it was a good way for the two of us to work out our differences. Mom told Roderick she wanted him to be the dungeon keeper, just like Leland. Then she dumped a pile of books on Roderick's bed and told him to start studying up. It was bad enough playing in front of Mom at Leland's house, but I knew playing with Roderick would be about 10 times worse. Mom was serious about me and Roderick playing together, so I knew I was going to have to go through with it. I spent about an hour up in my room making up characters with names Roderick couldn't make fun of, like Joe and Bob. Once I was finished, I met Roderick in the kitchen, and we started our game. In his first move as dungeon keeper, Roderick said, "You and your group of nerds fall into a pit, and it's full of dynamite and you blow up, the end." I guess I should be grateful that it was over with quickly, and I just hope Mom saved her receipts on those books. Friday. The teachers have really been cracking down on kids copying off of each other this year. Remember how I said I was glad I got put next to Alex Aruda in pre-algebra? Well, that hasn't done me any good. Mrs. Lee is my pre-algebra teacher, and I'm guessing she also had Roderick when he was in middle school, because that woman watches me like a hawk. Sometimes, I think it would be really cool if I had a glass eye or something like that. First of all, I could use it to play all sorts of wacky tricks on my friends. But the main thing I'd use it for is to help me get better grades. On the first day of school, I'd aim my glass eye down. Then, I'd go up to the teacher and say, "Listen, I just wanted to tell you I have a glass eye, so don't go thinking I'm looking at other people's papers." And the teacher would say, "Okie doke, thanks for letting me know." Then, during a test, I'd aim my glass eye down at my own paper, and I'd look at some brainy kid's paper with my real eye. I could copy away, and the teacher would be too dumb to notice.
Aw, that poor glass eye kid.
Unfortunately, I don't have a glass eye. So if Mom asks why I flunked my pop quiz in pre-algebra today, that's my excuse. Sunday. Roderick has been hitting Mom and Dad up for cash lately, so I guess the Mom Bucks program isn't really working out for him. Mom has tried to make Roderick do more chores to earn some money, but that hasn't been going too well. But tonight, Mom figured out a way Roderick could earn some cash. My school sent home a newsletter saying that music education has been canceled because of budget cuts, so parents should get their kids private music lessons. Mom told Roderick he could give me private drum lessons, and that she would pay him for it. I think Mom came up with the idea because lately, Roderick's been telling everyone he's a professional drummer. There's this local show called The Community Follies, where all the neighborhood parents do a bunch of comedy skits, and it's been running in our local theater for about 2 weeks. The other night, the regular drummer got sick, so Roderick filled in, and he got paid $5 to play a rim shot on the drums after each corny joke. I don't know if that really makes Roderick a professional drummer, but that didn't stop me from using it to score points with the girls at school. Hey, girls, my brother's a professional drummer. When Mom told Roderick he should start giving me drum lessons, he wasn't too hot on the idea. But then Mom said she'd pay him $10 a lesson, and that I could get a bunch of my friends to sign up too. So now I've got to recruit some people for Roderick's Drum Academy. And I can already tell, this isn't going to be a lot of fun. Monday. I couldn't get any of my friends to sign up for Roderick's drum school except Rowley, and I kind of had to trick him into doing it. Rowley is always saying he wants to learn how to play the drums, but he wants to play the kind they use in marching bands. I told Rowley I knew for a fact that Roderick was going to cover all that stuff in week 4, and that got Rowley pretty excited. I was just glad I wasn't going to have to take drum lessons all by myself. Rowley came over after school, and we went down to the basement to start our first lesson. Roderick started us off with some pretty basic drum drills. There was only one practice pad and 2 drumsticks, so Rowley had to use a paper plate and some plastic utensils. But I guess that's what happens when you're the last person to sign up for a class. After about 15 minutes, Roderick got a call from Ward, and that put an end to our first lesson.
"Class is dismissed early today."
Mom wasn't too happy to see me and Rowley upstairs so soon, and she sent us back down to the basement. She said not to come up until Roderick had at least given us a practice assignment. So he did. He told us,
"Your homework is to listen to some music with drums in it."
Tuesday. Me and Rowley had drum lessons with Roderick again today. Well, Roderick might be a good drummer, but he's not a good teacher. Me and Rowley tried our best to do the drills Roderick taught us, but every time we messed up, Roderick would get frustrated.
"Wrong, wrong, wrong."
Eventually, he got so fed up that he took our drumsticks away. Roderick sat down at his drum set and told us
to watch and learn.
Then he started doing this really long drum solo that didn't have anything to do with the drills he was teaching us.
Really long.
Roderick didn't even look up from his drum set when me and Rowley left and went upstairs. I'm not complaining, though, because the way I see it, this way everyone wins. We played video games while Roderick finished his drum solo. Thursday. We've got a history paper due the day before Thanksgiving, and I'd better start getting serious about it. The teachers are getting a lot stricter about the quality of work we turn in, and the way I usually do things isn't working so good anymore. Last week, we had a paper due in science, and Mrs. Breckman said we had to choose an animal to write about. So I picked the moose. I know I should have gone to the library and done research, but I just decided to wing it. The Amazing Moose by Greg Heffley. Diet. The moose eats many, many things. But the list would be way too long to put in this paper, so I will save us all some time by just listing the things that the moose does not eat. Bubblegum. Metal. Pizza. Even though there are moose habitats set up all over the place, the moose is almost extinct. Everybody knows the moose evolved from birds, just like people did. But somewhere along the line, people got arms, and the moose got stuck with those useless horns. The end. I actually thought I did a pretty good job, but I guess Mrs. Breckman must be an expert on mooses or something, because she made me go to the library and start the paper over from scratch. And my next paper isn't going to be any easier. I have to write a poem about the 1900s for Mr. Huff's class, and I don't know the first thing about history or poetry. So I guess I'd better start hitting the books. Monday. I was up at Rowley's playing board games yesterday, and the craziest thing happened. When Rowley was in the bathroom, I noticed that there was some play money sticking out of the box of one of the other games. I couldn't believe my eyes, because the play money inside that game was the exact same kind of money Mom uses for Mom Bucks. When I counted it up, there was something like $100,000 in cash in that box. It only took me about 2 seconds to figure out what to do next. I snagged it. When I got home, I ran upstairs and stuffed the money under my mattress. I tossed and turned all night trying to figure out what to do with my new Mom Bucks. I realized Mom would probably have some way of knowing the difference between phony Mom Bucks and the real thing. So this morning, I decided to try a little experiment. I asked Mom if I could cash in some Mom Bucks so I could buy stamps to write my pen pal. I was really nervous when I handed Mom the money. But she took it without even blinking. I can't believe my luck. I figure I can make this $100,000 last all the way through high school, and maybe even farther. I might not even have to get a real job later on. The trick will be not to cash in too much at one time, or Mom will know something's up. And I have to remember to earn a few Mom Bucks for real here and there so she doesn't get too suspicious. I will say one thing for sure, though. And it's that I won't be using the money Mom gave me to buy stamps. I got a picture from my pen pal, Mamadou, in the mail yesterday, and that pretty much killed any chance of me writing him back. And he calls himself super cool. Tuesday. My big history paper is due tomorrow, but they've been saying all week that it's going to snow about a foot tonight. So I haven't really been sweating it all that much. At around 10 o'clock, I peeked out the window to see how many inches of snow were on the ground so far. But I couldn't believe my eyes when I pulled back the curtain. Nada. Man, I was counting on school being canceled tomorrow. I turned on the news to see what happened, but the weather guy was telling a totally different story than he was 3 hours ago. That meant I had to get cracking on my history paper. The problem was, it was too late to go to the library, and we don't have any books in our house that are about the 1900s. So I knew I had to think of something quick. Then, I had a great idea. Dad has bailed Roderick out a million times on his school papers, so I figured he could help me, too. I told Dad about my situation, thinking he'd jump right in and help. But I guess Dad has learned his lesson in that department. He only said, "Good luck with that." Roderick must have overheard me talking to Dad, because he told me I should follow him downstairs. You know how Roderick had Mr. Huff, my history teacher in middle school? Well, it turns out Mr. Huff gave Roderick's class the exact same assignment when he was in my grade. Roderick dug around in his junk drawer and found his old paper, and then he told me he'd sell it to me for $5. I told him there was no way I'd do that. I'll admit, it was pretty tempting, because number one, since all of Roderick's assignments have gone through Dad, I knew Roderick got a good grade on his paper. And number two, it was in one of those clear plastic binders that teachers go crazy for. Plus, I had a huge stash of Mom bucks under my mattress upstairs, and I knew I could pay Roderick with that. But I couldn't do it. I mean, I've copied off of people's papers on quizzes and stuff before, but buying a paper off of someone would be taking it to a whole nother level. So I decided I was going to just have to suck it up and do the paper myself. I started doing some research on the computer, but at about midnight, the worst possible thing happened. The power went out. That's when I knew I was in some serious trouble. I knew I'd flunk history if I didn't turn in a paper. So even though I didn't want to, I decided to take Roderick up on his offer. I scraped together $500 in Mom bucks and went down to the basement. But Roderick didn't let me off that easy. His fee had gone up. Roderick told me his new price was $20,000 in Mom bucks. I told him I didn't have it. So he just rolled over and went back to sleep. At that point, I was really desperate, so I went upstairs and grabbed a big handful of $1,000 bills and brought them down to Roderick's room. I gave him the money, and he turned over the paper. I felt really bad about what I did, but I just tried not to think about it and went to sleep. Wednesday. On the bus ride to school, I took Roderick's paper out of my bag, but I took one look at it and knew something was seriously wrong. First of all, the poem wasn't typed out. It was in Roderick's own handwriting. That's when it hit me. Dad only started doing Roderick's papers for him once he got to high school, so that meant this paper was Roderick's own work. I started reading Roderick's paper to see if I could still use it. But apparently, Roderick was even worse about doing his research than me.
100 Years Ago, by Roderick Heffley. Sometimes I sit and wonder about stuff I don't know, like what the heck the Earth was like 100 years ago. Did cavemen ride on dinosaurs? Did flowers even grow? Well, we could guess, but that was back 100 years ago. I wish they built a time machine, and they picked me to go, to check out what the scene was like 100 years ago. Did giant spiders rule the earth? Were deserts filled with snow? I wonder what the story was 100 years ago.
At the bottom, the teacher wrote, "F. See me." I guess I learned my lesson about buying a paper off someone, or at least off of Roderick. When third period rolled around, I didn't have anything to turn in to Mr. Huff. I guess that means I'll be taking summer school for history. And my day got a whole lot worse after that. When I got home from school, Mom was waiting for me at the front door. You know that stack of bills I paid Roderick with? Well, he tried to cash them all in at once to get money for a used motorcycle. I'm sure Mom knew something was fishy, since Roderick has never earned a single Mom buck on his own. Roderick told Mom where he got the money, and she dug around my room until she found my stash under the mattress. Mom knew she never put $100,000 into circulation, so she confiscated all my cash, even the ones I earned for real. I guess that's the end of the Mom Bucks program. To be honest with you, I'm kind of relieved. Sleeping on that pile of cash every night was really stressing me out. Mom was mad that I tried to put one over on her like that, so she gave me a punishment. But I got that out of the way before dinner, by making Rowley help me clean out the garage. Thursday. Today was Thanksgiving, and it started off like it always does, with Aunt Loretta showing up 2 hours early. Mom always makes me and Roderick entertain Aunt Loretta, and that means talk to her until the rest of the family shows up. The biggest fights me and Roderick have ever had were over who has to greet her first. The rest of the family started trickling in around 11 o'clock. Dad's brother, Uncle Joe, and his kids were the last ones to show up around 12:30. Uncle Joe's kids all called Dad the same thing: Aunt Frank. Mom thinks it's really cute, but Dad swears that Uncle Joe tells his kids to do it on purpose. Things are pretty tense between Dad and Uncle Joe, because Dad is still mad at Uncle Joe for something he did last Thanksgiving. Back then, Manny had just started potty training, and he was doing pretty good. In fact, he was probably about 2 weeks from being out of diapers. But Uncle Joe said something to Manny that changed everything.
Better look out for the potty monster, little fella.
It was 6 months before Manny would even step foot in the bathroom again. Every time Dad changed a dirty diaper after that, I heard him cursing Uncle Joe under his breath. We had dinner around 2 o'clock, and then people went into the living room to talk. I didn't feel like talking, so I went in the family room to play video games. Eventually, I guess Dad had enough of the family too, so he went downstairs to work on his Civil War battlefield. But he forgot to lock the door to the furnace room, and Uncle Joe walked in after him. Uncle Joe seemed pretty interested in what Dad was working on, so Dad told him all about it. Dad gave Uncle Joe this big speech about the 150th Regiment and the role it played at Gettysburg, and spent about a half hour describing the whole battle. But I don't think Uncle Joe was really listening to Dad's speech. He sort of insulted Dad by saying, "Nice toys, big brother." Thanksgiving didn't last too much longer after that. Dad went upstairs and turned up the thermostat until it got stuffy and everyone cleared out. And that's pretty much how Thanksgiving ends every year at our house. December. Saturday. You remember how I said Mom and Dad were going to eventually find out about Roderick's party? Well, it finally happened today. Mom sent Dad out to pick up the pictures from Thanksgiving, and when Dad got back, you could tell he wasn't happy about something. The picture in Dad's hand was from Roderick's party. It looked like one of Roderick's friends accidentally took a picture with Mom's camera, which she keeps on the shelf above the stereo. And when he took the picture, it captured the whole scene. Roderick tried to deny that he had a party, but everything was right there in the picture, so there really wasn't any point. Mom and Dad took away Roderick's car keys and told him his punishment is that he's not allowed to leave the house for a whole month. They were even mad at me, because they said I was Roderick's accomplice. So I got hit with a 2-week video game ban. Sunday. Mom and Dad have been all over Roderick's case ever since they found out about his party. Roderick usually sleeps until 2 o'clock in the afternoon on weekends, but today, Dad made Roderick get out of bed by 8 a.m. Making Roderick get out of bed early is a pretty big blow to him, because Roderick loves to sleep. One time last fall, Roderick slept for 36 hours straight. He slept all the way from Sunday night until Tuesday morning, and he didn't even realize he missed a whole day of his life until Tuesday night, when Monday night football wasn't on. But it looks like Roderick has found a way around the new 8 o'clock rule. Now, when Dad tells Roderick to get out of bed, Roderick just drags his stuff upstairs with him and he sleeps on the couch until it's time for dinner. So I guess you gotta give this round to Roderick. Tuesday. Mom and Dad are going away again this weekend, and they're dropping me and Roderick off at Grandpa's. They said they were gonna let us stay home, but we proved we can't be trusted on our own. Grandpa lives over in Leisure Towers, which is this old folks' home. I had to spend a week there with Roderick a few months ago, and it was the low point of my whole summer. Manny is staying with Grandma this weekend, and I'd give anything to trade places with him. Grandma always has her fridge stocked with soda and cake and stuff like that, and she has cable TV with all the movie channels. The reason Manny is going to Grandma's is because Manny is Grandma's favorite, and all you need to do is take one look at her refrigerator for the proof. There's pictures of Manny all over the door. But if anyone ever accuses Grandma of showing favorites, she gets all defensive, saying,
"I love all my grandchildren the same."
And it's not just the pictures on the fridge, either. Grandma has Manny's drawings and stuff hanging up all over the house. The only thing that Grandma has for me is this note I wrote her when I was 6. I was mad at her because she wouldn't give me any ice cream before dinner. So here's what I wrote.
"I hate you, Grandma."
Grandma has kept that note all these years, and she's still holding it over my head, telling everyone who comes into the house,
"And this is what my wonderful grandson Gregory made for me."
I guess every grandparent has their favorite, and I can understand that. But at least Grandpa is up front about it. The best part is, I'm the one who is his favorite. Saturday. Well, Mom and Dad dumped me and Roderick off at Grandpa's today, just like they said they were gonna do. I started looking for ways to entertain myself, but there's nothing in Grandpa's condo that's fun to do, so I just sat down with him and watched TV. But Grandpa doesn't even watch real shows. He just keeps his TV tuned to the security camera that's in the front lobby of his building. And after a few hours of that, you start to go a little nuts, listening to Grandpa say things like, "Oh, sure, Barry Grossman has time to go out for a 3-hour walk, but he doesn't have time to return my vacuum." At about 5 o'clock, Grandpa made us dinner. Grandpa makes this awful thing called watercress salad, and it's the worst thing you ever tasted. It's basically a bunch of cold green beans and cucumbers floating in a pool of vinegar. Roderick knows I hate watercress salad more than anything, so the last time we stayed at Grandpa's, Roderick made sure to pile it on my plate, saying,
"Greg loves watercress salad."
I had to sit there and choke down every bite so Grandpa's feelings wouldn't be hurt. And guess what I got as a reward for cleaning my plate? More watercress salad. Tonight, Grandpa gave us our salad, and I acted like I was going to eat it. But then I just stuffed it all in my pocket when no one was looking. It felt pretty disgusting when the cold vinegar started running down my leg. But believe me, it was about 1,000 times better than having to eat it. After dinner, the three of us went into the living room. Grandpa has all these really old board games, and he always makes me and Roderick play them with him. He has this one game called Gut Busters, where one player reads a card, and the other player tries not to laugh. I always beat Grandpa, mostly because the jokes don't make any sense to me. Stuff like, "Putting economic policy before fiscal responsibility is like putting the cart before the horse." That one always gets him. I always beat Roderick, too, but that's because Roderick loses on purpose. Whenever it's my turn to read a card, he makes sure he has a big mouthful of milk. Then he laughs in my direction. At 10 o'clock, I was ready for bed, but Roderick called the couch, and that meant I had to sleep with Grandpa again. All I can say is, if Mom and Dad were trying to teach me a lesson for covering for Roderick, well, mission accomplished. Grandpa actually handed me his teeth and asked me to put them in the glass on the bedside table.
Yuck.
Sunday. Roderick has a big science fair project due right before Christmas break, and it looks like Mom and Dad are making Roderick do this one all by himself. Last year, Roderick's science project was called Does Watching Violent Movies Make People Think Violent Thoughts? I guess the idea was to have people watch horror movies and then draw pictures afterward to show how the movies affected them. But it was really just an excuse for Roderick and his friends to watch a bunch of horror movies on school nights. Roderick's friends got the movie-watching part done, but they didn't draw a single picture. And the night before the science fair, Roderick didn't have anything to show for himself. So me, Mom, and Dad had to bail Roderick out. Dad typed up the paper, Mom made the poster board stuff, and I had to draw a bunch of pictures. I did my best to imagine what teenagers would draw after watching violent movies. Skulls with knives in them, burning buildings being attacked by airplanes with missiles. The thing that really stinks is that I caught heat from Mom when she saw my drawings, because she said they were disturbing. And that's why I was only allowed to watch G-rated movies for the rest of the year. But if you want to talk about disturbing, you should have seen some of the stuff Manny was coming up with those days. One night, Roderick accidentally left one of his horror movies in the DVD player, and when Manny went to turn on cartoons the next day, he got Roderick's movie instead. I came across a couple of Manny's drawings after that, and some of them were enough to give me nightmares. Tuesday. Mom and Dad set up due dates for Roderick on his science fair project, and by 6 o'clock tonight, he was supposed to tell them the theme of his experiment. But at 6:45, things weren't looking so good. Roderick was watching a show about astronauts and what happens to them after they've been up in space for a long time. The show said that when the astronauts get back to Earth, they're actually taller than when they left. And the reason is because there's no gravity in space, so their spines decompress or something. Well, that gave Roderick the idea he was looking for. Roderick told Mom and Dad he was going to do his science experiment on the effect of zero gravity on the human spine. And from the way Roderick was talking it up, you'd think the results of his experiment were going to benefit mankind. Dad seemed pretty impressed. Or maybe he was just relieved that Roderick actually came through on his first task. But I think Dad started to see things a little different later on, when he found Roderick laid out on the couch and told him to take the trash out to the curb. But Roderick said he couldn't, because he was doing his research. Wednesday. Yesterday at school, they announced tryouts for the big winter talent show. As soon as I found out about it, I came up with this awesome idea for a comedy skit that me and Rowley could do. But I admit the real reason I wrote it was to give myself an excuse to talk to Holly Hills, who is Heather Hills' sister and the most popular girl in my grade. It's called The Boy Whose Family Thinks He's a Dog. And here's the script. Me, as the dad. Look, honey. Our dog is standing on its hind legs. Rowley, as the boy.
I am a person, not a dog.
Holly, as the mom. Hey, you're not supposed to be up on the couch, you dumb mutt. Rowley.
But I'm not a dog. I'm your son.
Holly. Don't you growl at me. Me. We're off on a romantic vacation. I guess we'll have to put you in the kennel. Rowley.
But I want to go with you guys.
Me. Well, woof, woof, woof to you, too. The end. Credits. Writer, Greg Heffley. Director, Greg Heffley. Dad, Greg Heffley. Mom, Holly Hills. Dog boy, Rowley Jefferson. I showed Rowley the script, but he wasn't too enthusiastic about the idea. You'd think Rowley would be grateful that I was going to make him a big star. But like Mom always says, there are some people you just can't please. Thursday. Rowley went and found someone else to partner with for the talent show. He's going to do a magic act with this kid from his karate class named Scotty Douglas. And if you want to know if I'm jealous, let me put it to you this way. Scotty Douglas is in the first grade. So Rowley will be lucky if he doesn't get beat up at school for this. They're having one big talent show for the elementary school, the middle school, and the high school. So that means Roderick and his band are going to be in the same competition as Rowley and Scotty Douglas. Roderick's all fired up about the talent show. His band has never played in front of a crowd, so they see this as their big chance to get noticed. Roderick is still grounded, but the rule is that he's not allowed to leave the house, so his band just comes over every day and practices down in the basement. I think Dad's starting to wish he had worded Roderick's punishment a little differently. But if Roderick's band really thinks they can win this talent show, they better get serious and play some actual music, because they spent their last two practices fooling around with a new echo pedal they got over the weekend. I kept hearing, "Somebody farted, 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 farted." Friday. Dad ended Roderick's punishment 2 weeks early, because he was going bonkers listening to Loaded Diaper practice every day. So tonight, Roderick went to his friend Ward's for the weekend. With Roderick out of the house, that meant the basement was free, so I invited Rowley over to spend the night. Me and Rowley bought a bunch of candy and soda, and Rowley brought over his portable TV. We even managed to get our hands on a couple of Roderick's horror movies, so we were all set. But then, Mom came downstairs with Manny. She said, "Look who came to join you." Rats. The only reason Mom dumped Manny on us was so he could spy and tell her if we were doing anything wrong. Every single time I've had a sleepover, Manny has ruined it. The last time Rowley slept over was the worst. Manny must have gotten cold in the middle of the night, so he crawled into Rowley's sleeping bag to get warm. That freaked Rowley out enough to make him go home early, and he hasn't been back to spend the night ever since. It looked like Manny was going to ruin another sleepover. Me and Rowley couldn't watch our horror movies with Manny around, so we decided to just play board games instead. But I'm a little sick of board games. And besides, Rowley was kind of driving me crazy. He needed to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes, and whenever he'd come back downstairs, he'd kick a pillow across the room, saying, "Booyah!" It might have been funny the first couple of times, but then it really started getting on my nerves. So the next time Rowley went upstairs to use the bathroom, I played a prank on him. I put one of Dad's dumbbells underneath a pillow. And sure enough, the next time Rowley came downstairs, he gave it a big kick. Well, that did it. Rowley started blubbering like a baby, and I couldn't quiet him down. And with all the racket Rowley was making, Mom came downstairs. Mom took a look at Rowley's big toe, and she seemed pretty concerned. I think Mom's sensitive about Rowley getting injured in our house after the tinfoil ball incident, so she drove him right home. I was just glad she didn't ask us how it happened. As soon as Mom and Rowley walked out the door, I knew I'd better start working on Manny. Manny saw me put that dumbbell under the pillow, and I knew he would tell Mom what I did. So I came up with an idea to keep him from snitching. I packed some bags and told Manny I was going to run away from home so I didn't have to face Mom for what I did. Then I walked out the door and acted like I was leaving for good. Goodbye, oh family. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I got that idea from Roderick. He used to pull the same kind of thing on me when he did something bad and he knew I was going to tell on him. He would act like he was running away, and then 5 minutes later, he would just walk back inside. And by that time, I was ready to forgive him for whatever he did. So after I told Manny I was leaving home, I shut the door and waited outside for a few minutes. And when I opened the door, I expected to find him crying in the foyer. But Manny wasn't where I left him. I started walking around the house looking for him. And guess where he was?
down in the basement, eating my candy. Anyway, if letting Manny eat my candy is the price I have to pay to keep him quiet, I can live with it. Saturday. After I woke up this morning, I went down to the kitchen. But one look at Mom's face told me that Manny sold me out. Manny told Mom everything. He even told her about our horror movies. Don't even ask me how he knew about that. Mom made me call Rowley to apologize. But then she made me talk to his parents and apologize to them, too. So I don't think I'm going to get invited back over to Rowley's house anytime soon. Then Mom got on the phone with Mrs. Jefferson. Mrs. Jefferson said Rowley's big toe was broken and that he had to stay off it for a week. Then Mrs. Jefferson said Rowley is heartbroken because this means he'll have to miss the talent show tryouts, and he's been practicing his magic act with Scotty Douglas all week. So Mom told Mrs. Jefferson that I would be happy to fill in for Rowley at the tryouts. I started tugging at Mom's sleeve to let her know this was a terrible idea. But of course, she just ignored me. After Mom got off the phone, I told her the last thing I needed at school is to be on stage doing magic tricks with a kid who was in pull-ups a year ago. But Mom made me go through with it anyway. She took me down to Scotty's house and explained the situation to his mother. So now there was no getting out of it. Mrs. Douglas invited me inside, and me and Scotty went up to his room to start practicing. Well, the first thing I found out was that Rowley and Scotty were not equal partners in this act. Rowley was actually Scotty's assistant. I told Scotty there was no way I was going to be a magician's assistant to a first grader. But Scotty said it was his magic set, and he started throwing a big tantrum. So I just went along with the idea to keep Scotty quiet, because believe me, I did not need any more trouble. Then Scotty handed me this shirt that was covered with all these sparkly sequins, and he told me that it was my costume. It looked like something Grandma would wear to bingo. I told Scotty maybe I could wear something cooler, like a leather jacket, but he said that wouldn't be
magic
enough. Anyway, it turns out all I have to do for the act is hand Scotty a prop every once in a while, so maybe it really isn't going to be all that bad. But ask me how I feel again if we get in and have to perform on stage in front of 500 people instead of Scotty's baby sister. Sunday. I'll tell you one good thing that's come out of practicing this magic act with Scotty Douglas. It's given me a bunch of good ideas for more Creighton the Cretan comics. Rowley quit doing his comic strip, Zoo-wee Mama, for the school paper a few months ago, because he said he wanted to have more time to play with his Dino Blazer action figures. That means the cartoonist job is open again, and maybe I have a shot. Monday. Well, good news on the talent show. The tryouts were today, and me and Scotty didn't make it in. Okay, so maybe I could have done a better job as Scotty's assistant, but I didn't blow it on purpose. I just forgot to hand him his props once or twice. And read a newspaper while we were on stage. We were the only ones who didn't make the cut, and that actually is kind of embarrassing. I know we weren't exactly the best act trying out today, but we weren't the worst either. Some of the acts that got in were a lot lamer than our magic act. This kindergartner named Harry Gilbertson made the cut, and all he did was roller skate figure eights around a boombox that was playing Yankee Doodle Dandy. Roderick's band made it in too, and he's acting like that's some huge accomplishment. Like I said before, Roderick is really excited about the winter talent show. In fact, he actually got his science fair project done a day early so he could squeeze in some extra band practices before the big night. But when Roderick turned in his project, his science teacher told him he was going to have to start over and come up with a whole new idea. He said that Roderick didn't use the scientific method with a hypothesis and a conclusion and all that.
Roderick told the teacher he actually grew a 16th of an inch during his zero-gravity experiment, so that proved he was onto something. But his teacher said that's a normal amount for a boy Roderick's age to grow in a month. Well, this really stinks for me, because I had decided to do my science fair project on zero-gravity, too. And now it looks like all the research I did, watching Roderick sleep, was just a big waste of time. Dad told Roderick he's going to have to just skip the talent show so he can do a new experiment. But Roderick says he's not going to do it. Roderick told Dad he doesn't care about school anymore. He said his plan is to win the talent show and use the tape of the performance to get signed to a record label. Then he'll quit school and just do the band full time. It sounds like a terrible plan to me. But I think Dad is pretty open to the idea, if it gets Roderick out of the house. Wednesday. Tonight was the big winter talent show. I didn't want to go, and neither did Dad. But Mom made us both go to show our support for Roderick. Roderick and Mom went to the school early to bring some stuff that Roderick's band needed, so Dad had to ride in the band's van with Bill. And Dad wasn't too thrilled when he ran into his boss in the school parking lot. The show kicked off at 7 o'clock. And let me just say, I think it was a really bad idea to combine the three schools for this thing. They ended up having kindergartners singing songs to their teddy bears, followed by 18-year-olds doing speed metal guitar solos, like Larry Larkin's performance of Carnage. I don't think Dad approved of Larry Larkin and all his piercings. Halfway through Larry's guitar solo, Dad leaned over and whispered to the man sitting next to him,
"What's the worst thing that kid up there could say to you?"
I wish I had time to warn Dad that that guy he was talking to was Larry's father. Yep, you guessed it. Dad's answer to "what's the worst thing that kid could say to you" was, "Hi, Dad."
Oops.
Another problem with combining the schools was that there were too many acts, and the show went on forever. At 9:30, they decided to start running two acts at the same time to keep the show moving along. Sometimes it worked out all right, like when they had Patty Farrell tap dancing while Spencer Kitt was juggling. But other times, it didn't work out too good, like when Terrence James played a harmonica on a unicycle while Charisse Klein read her poem about global warming. Roderick's band was the last act to take the stage. Before the show, Roderick asked me to videotape his band during their act, but I told him, no way. He's been such a jerk to me lately that I can't believe he was trying to hit me up for a favor. So Mom volunteered for camera duty. Roderick's band got paired up with Harry Gilbertson, the roller skating kid, and I'm sure Roderick wasn't too happy about that. I noticed Dad wasn't sitting next to me while Roderick's band played, so I looked around for him. Dad was standing in the back of the gym with cotton balls sticking out of his ears, and he stayed there until the song was over. After Roderick's band performed, they handed out the awards. Roderick's band didn't win anything, but Harry Gilbertson walked away with a prize for Best Musical Act. Go figure. But you'll never guess who the grand prize winner was. Rowley's babysitter, Leland. He won for his ventriloquist act, because the judges said it was wholesome. I never thought I'd agree with Roderick on anything, but I'm starting to wonder if maybe he was right about Leland being a nerd after all. After the show, Roderick's band came back to our house to watch the videotape of their performance. They were all grumbling about how they got robbed, and how the judges don't know the first thing about rock and roll. So their plan was to just mail the videotape off to some record labels and let their performance speak for itself. They all sat down in front of the TV, and Roderick put the tape in the machine. But it took about 30 seconds for everyone to realize the tape was worthless. You know how Roderick asked Mom to videotape the show? Well, she did a pretty good job of filming. But she talked nonstop during the first 2 minutes, and the camera picked up every little comment she made. Things like, "That shirt makes Roderick's arms look so skinny."
Every time Bill stuck out his tongue and flicked it up and down like a rock star, you could hear Mom ring in with her opinion. I don't like that. In fact, the only time Mom stopped talking was when Roderick did his drum solo. But during that part, the camera was shaking around so much that you couldn't even see anything. At first, Roderick and his bandmates were really mad. But then one of them remembered that the school taped the talent show, and it's supposed to be on the local cable channel tomorrow night. I guess that means they'll all be coming back over to watch that. Thursday. Well, things have gotten really bad for me in the last few hours. Roderick and his bandmates came over around 7 o'clock tonight to watch the talent show on TV. They sat through the whole 3-hour show until their band came on. The school actually did a decent job of taping the performance, and things were looking pretty good, up until Roderick's drum solo. That's when Mom started dancing. And whoever was doing the filming zoomed right in on Mom and kept the camera pointed at her for the rest of the song. That meant Roderick didn't have anything he could send to record companies. And he was really mad about it, too. At first, he was mad at Mom for messing things up. But Mom said that if Roderick didn't want people to dance, he shouldn't play music. Then, Roderick turned on me. He said this was all my fault, because if I just taped the show like he asked me to, none of this would have happened. But I told him that maybe if he wasn't such a jerk, I would have done it for him. We started to yell at each other. Mom and Dad broke us up, and then they sent Roderick down to his room and me up to mine. But a couple of hours later, I went downstairs and I ran into Roderick in the kitchen. He was smiling, so I knew something was up. Roderick told me my secret was out. At first, I didn't know what he was talking about. But then I got it. He was talking about the thing that happened to me this summer. I ran down to the basement, and I picked up Roderick's phone to see if he had made any calls. And sure enough, it looked like he had called every friend of his who had a brother or sister my age. By tomorrow morning, everyone at my school will know the story, and I'm sure Roderick exaggerated the facts to make the story sound even worse. Now that my secret's out there, I want to put on record what really happened, and not Roderick's twisted version. So here it goes. Over the summer, me and Roderick had to stay with Grandpa at his condo in Leisure Towers for a few days. But there was nothing to do, and I was going bonkers. I was so bored, I broke out my old journal and started to write in it. But taking out a book that said diary on the cover in front of Roderick was a huge mistake. Roderick stole my journal and made a run for it. He probably would have made it into the bathroom and locked the door if someone hadn't left the Gutbusters game sitting out. He tripped right over it. I scooped the book off the floor and ran out into the hallway and down the stairwell. Then, I ducked into the bathroom in the main lobby and locked myself in a stall. I kept my feet off the floor so that if Roderick came in, he wouldn't know I was in there. I knew that if Roderick got a hold of my journal, it would be a nightmare. So I decided to just rip the whole thing into tiny little pieces and flush them down the toilet. It was better to just destroy the thing than risk Roderick getting his hands on it. But as soon as I started ripping pages out of the book, I heard the bathroom door open. I thought it was Roderick, so I just stayed completely still. I didn't hear anything, so I peeked over the top of the stall to see what was going on. That's when I saw a woman standing in front of the mirror putting on makeup. I figured the lady just accidentally wandered into the men's room, because people at Leisure Towers are always doing stuff like that. I was about to speak up and tell this lady she was in the wrong bathroom, but right then, someone else walked in. And guess what? It was another woman. That's when I realized that I was the one who messed up, and I was in the women's bathroom. I prayed that those ladies would just wash their hands and leave so I could make a run for it, but they sat down in the stalls on either side of me, and every time one woman would leave the bathroom, someone else would come in and take their place. So I couldn't leave.
I just cowered on top of the toilet in my stall. If Rowley thinks he had it bad when those kids made him eat the cheese, he should try being stuck in the Leisure Tower's ladies' room for an hour and a half. I guess someone eventually heard me in there, and they reported me to the front desk. Within a few minutes, word got around the building that there was a peeping Tom in the women's room. By the time security came in and got me out of there, everyone who lived in Leisure Towers was down in the lobby. And Roderick saw the whole thing unfold upstairs on Grandpa's TV. Now that the story was out, I knew I couldn't show my face at school. So I told Mom she was going to have to transfer me somewhere else, and I told her why. Mom said I shouldn't worry about what other people think. She told me that my classmates would understand that I had just made an honest mistake. So that just proves once and for all that Mom doesn't understand a thing about kids my age. Now I'm kicking myself for not keeping up my pen pal relationship with Mamadou. Because if me and him had stayed in touch, maybe I could have gone to France as an exchange student and hid out there for a few years. All I know is, the one place I don't want to go tomorrow is school. And it looks like that's exactly where I'm headed. Friday. The craziest thing happened today. When I walked in the door at school, a bunch of guys cornered me, and I braced myself for the teasing to start. But instead of harassing me, they started congratulating me. Everyone was shaking my hand and patting me on the back, and I didn't know what was going on. With all those guys talking to me at the same time, it took me a while to make sense of anything. But here's what must have happened. The story Roderick told his friends got passed on to their brothers and sisters, and then they told their friends. But by the time word spread around, all the details got totally messed up. So the story went from me accidentally walking into the women's bathroom at Leisure Towers to me infiltrating the girls' locker room at Crossland High School. I couldn't believe everything got twisted like that, but I wasn't about to set the record straight either. All of a sudden, I was the hero at school. I even got a nickname. People were calling me the Stealthinator. Someone even made me a Stealthinator headband, and you better believe I wore it. Things like this never happened to me, so I wasn't going to pass up my moment of glory. And for the first time ever, I knew what it felt like to be the most popular kid at school. Unfortunately, the girls weren't as impressed with me as the guys were. In fact, I think I might have a little trouble getting someone to go to the Valentine's dance with me. Monday. You know how Roderick wanted his band to get noticed? Well, he kind of got his wish, because everybody knows who Loaded Diaper is now. I guess somebody must have thought the tape of Mom cutting loose at the talent show was pretty funny, because it's all over the internet. And now everyone knows Roderick Heffley as the drummer from the Dancing Mom video. Ever since, Roderick's been hiding out in the basement, waiting for the whole thing to blow over. And I have to admit, I do feel kind of sorry for him. I'm getting teased about the video at school, too. But at least I'm not in it. And even though Roderick can be a huge jerk sometimes, he is my brother. Tomorrow is the science fair. And if Roderick doesn't turn in a project, he's gonna flunk out of school. So that's why I offered to help him out with his project. But just this one last time. We worked together all night, and I don't mean to brag, but we did a really good job. His new project is called Do Plants Sneeze? Anyway, when Roderick gets first prize tomorrow and passes science, I just hope he realizes how lucky he is to have a brother like me.
The End. You've been listening to Diary of a Wimpy Kid, Roderick Rules, by Jeff Kinney. narrated by Ramon de Ocampo. This book is copyrighted 2008 by Jeff Kinney. This recording is copyrighted 2009 by Recorded Books. If you've enjoyed this book and this performance, Recorded Books recommends The Homework Machine by Dan Gutman, narrated by the Recorded Books Repertory Company. An unlikely foursome made up of a geek, a class clown, a teacher's pet, and a slacker are bound together by one very big secret, the homework machine. Because the machine, codenamed Belch, is doing their homework for them, they start spending a lot of time together, attracting a lot of attention. And attention is exactly what you don't want when you're keeping such an enormous secret. You'll find a wide selection of titles in the Recorded Books catalog, including bestsellers, mysteries, classics, histories, and more. Call us toll-free or log on to www.recordedbooks.com to learn about our latest releases and special offers, order another recorded book, or to read author interviews and narrator profiles. Don't forget to ask about easy 30-day rentals by mail. And thank you for being a Recorded Books reader.